I'm here with Bridget Tolley, who has lost a mother and founded the Families of Sisters in Spirit annual march on October 4th. Bridget, can you tell our listeners a little bit about these annual marches?
Well, the first annual Sisters in Spirit march started in 2006. It all started because I was looking for a way to... I started off with looking for an independent investigation for my mother through Quebec. And Quebec ended up refusing. So I wanted to find a way to bring them, my mother and the missing and murdered women, to a place where Canada would not be able to forget them and to know that we are there. So I asked the Native Women's Association of Canada and Amnesty to help me to start our first annual Sisters in Spirit Vigil in 2006. So this is what we did, and we had 11 cities across Canada. And in 2010, when the government took away the funding from the Sisters in Spirit initiative, we were close to 100 cities across Canada, and internationally we had a few cities too joining us. So it was really a powerful movement, and it grew from 11 cities to close to 100 in 5 years.
Wow.
So there was something really strong and happening with these vigils, and it was powerful to have this many. So we wanted to continue this after the government took away the funding from the Native Women's, and they stopped them from, they discontinued the funding for the Sisters in Spirit, but gave them money for a new project, which was called Evidence to Action. I didn't feel that the government should have did this. I was kind of sad for them to give it to us and sort of take it away.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to fight for it, and they are our sisters in spirit. We can't call our sisters in spirit Evidence to Action, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We brought so much awareness in the past 5 years through Sisters in Spirit. And we just wanted to continue and fight for it. And since the government didn't want NWAC to continue the database or the research or what they were doing with Sisters in Spirit, so we as families got together, and we want to continue it. We're hoping to go on with our little database. We had started our database in the past year. We might have, I'm not sure exactly how many so far, but we're going to continue to work on that and do whatever we can to help the families.
How do you collect information for the database?
Well, we have been working with other, missing people in Canada, and checking on the police website for the missing. And as soon as somebody knows of any missing Aboriginal women, they send it to us right away. So we get the word out as fast as we can. We've had a Facebook group for approximately a year now, since the government took away the funding, but we recently got an office space with the Ottawa Coalition to End Violence Against Women. So we will be working together with them. They will be helping us, and we're going to help them. And together, hopefully, we'll be able to do something more for the families.
Do you want to talk about your own experience losing your mother?
Well, it was our 10th anniversary last year. It's been pretty hard so far. I was alone for the past 4 or 5 years. It was really hard. The worst part about it all was dealing with the police, and this is what's the problem in so many of our cases. Even with the new ones coming up and everything, the families don't get help. They think that our children are just runaways, or they'll be back, something like that. But if it's a non-native girl that goes missing or something, it's not the same, It's mm-hmm. the families that have to do the work, and families have to put them in, do the searches and stuff like this. So it's really hard. for the families in the first few years, and this is what happened to me. It was really even hard just getting the police report when it involved the police. I had a hard time. I had to pay like $1,000 to get my mother's police report, and they didn't even want to give it to me. I had to go through a lawyer, and I'm a family member, so if a family member has a hard time, you know, my goodness sakes, I don't know what how other families are treated, but according to my own experience, you know, and it's 10 years later, with three police forces involved, we had the Sûreté de Québec police that killed her, then we have our own police, our reserve police, which is the Kitigan TV police, and then the Montreal police came in 8 hours later.
Just to clarify for our listeners, your mother was killed by a cop?
Yes, she was struck and killed by the Sûreté du Québec police on my reserve. And not only that, it was the brother that killed, that struck and killed my mother. His brother was in charge of the case. Mm-hmm. There was two brothers on the scene, and of the brother that struck and killed my mom. All three forces of these police are paid by the government of Quebec. So I don't think it's fair for me to even ask the government of Quebec for an independent investigation into my mother's death, especially when they're paying for all these three police forces. They're paying the salaries for these police forces. So I'm hoping to change something like this, and I am now asking Canada to overturn Quebec's decision. Canada, again, the federal government says they're not involved, but they are involved because on my reserve, we signed a tri-party agreement, which is which includes the federal government, the provincial government, and the reserve. So they are involved whether they like it or not. They should be anyway. I feel that Quebec shouldn't even be involved in even asking for a public inquiry, especially when, like I said, it's all their employees that you know, we're complaining about. And, you know, when somebody does this, of course, like me, if they were my employees, I don't want a public inquiry, you know, of course not. And not only that, when there's three forces involved, you know, there's quite a few forces, and they should examine what happened. And if they did a good job, why not be proud of their work and say, yes, we did it the best we can, and this was it. You know, if they would have did this in the beginning and gave me stuff, maybe I wouldn't have been here today, you know. But it's what they didn't give me, what I didn't see, made me want to go further with this. Like, even the coroner for my mother's case, there was no coroner. The only ones to see my mother were police officers, three forces of police officers. Nobody else. There was one doctor. They went to get the doctor at the hospital. And then this is the Sûreté de Québec that just killed my mother. The usual procedure for this is when something like this happens, they bring the body to the hospital and the doctor at the hospital pronounces them dead. This is what happened to my aunt 3 years before my mother died. She got in an accident, and this is what the procedure was. But not in my mother's case. The Sûreté de Québec went to get the doctor at the hospital. So the doctor came to the scene. He was there like for 30 seconds. He pronounced my mother dead, and he went right back to the hospital. So this was the only person besides police to see my mother. There was no coroner. The coroner wrote a report. He was done the report like 6 months later. And how he wrote the report was according to the police reports. So he didn't even see the body. And this is why I assume they don't want to have a coroner's inquest for my mother, because the coroner never even saw the body. So what's the coroner going to go to court and say, oh, I don't know, this is according to my reports, you know? So this is one of the reasons that I continue to fight. You know, and hopefully one of these days, even if I never get an independent investigation or a public inquiry, one of these days I will make all these police reports available to the press and let them, you know, let everybody see what a terrible job they did.
Is there anything else that perpetuates this violence against Aboriginal women in Canada?
There's so many things, you know. It's really hard. And like I said, on the families, and even to get any information from them. And most of the cases right now are cold cases. I believe that, you know, maybe they work on them for a few months, but after that, I mean, the case goes cold. And these families never hear from the police again. So this is one thing we want to try and do with Families of Sisters in Spirit, is to make sure that all these unsolved murders, we want to make sure that their stories are still out there. The same with the missing, we have to do it ourselves, because I believe that, you know, like after a few months, all these cases go in a cold case file and nobody touches them anymore. You know, and there's so many killers out there. Like for me, and for the past year, I've been posting so many missing girls on our Facebook group, but very rarely do I post any of these cases solved. And this is sad. So we have so many killers out there that you don't even know, and maybe you can be sitting beside them one of these days and people don't even know. So this is why the families have to continue to fight for justice and to do everything, because the police are doing their job, and they're not even really helping the families, especially with anything like this.
What role does racism play in this?
Well, I can speak again for my mother's case. There's a big role in my mother's case. They made it sound like she died because she was drunk, the old drunken Indian thing. They're trying to make it sound like that she died because she was drunk and not because she got hit by the police car or the police. And not only that, they said during the investigation there was a bunch of drunk people going to the scene to fight them. But this didn't happen because nobody knew who it was. Really, at first, it was hit by the police. I was on the scene. I didn't see anyone. They told me that I couldn't see my mother, and I had to go home and just wait for them to come and talk to me, which they never did. Mm-hmm. And that was it, you know. But this is what we felt in my mother's case. And this is really sad, you know. When they're responsible, they should take the blame. You know, everybody's normal here, and everybody makes mistakes. And not just because they're police officers doesn't give them the right to do this to us, mm-hmm. or do they have the power to be better than us. Mm-hmm. Everybody is normal. Everybody makes mistakes. And when something like this happens, they should be punished just like us. Because if I was to kill a police officer, I would be in jail right away. But when they kill or hurt somebody, it's usually, oh, it's okay, you know. And they get their jobs, they continue working. But us, it's our lives that do not go on. So this is why that we have to continue mm-hmm. to fight for our own families.
How do you feel about the media portrayal of this issue?
Well, it's not great, too, because every time one of our girls goes missing, you know, we have to fight with the media to get some attention. But as for a non-Native person, there is so much media out there. There's so much help. They have the dog teams. They have helicopters. They do everything they can. The police have rewards up. You don't see this when a Native girl goes missing. We have two girls missing from our reserve, Maisie Ojik and Shannon Alexander. Mm-hmm. It's going to be it's 3 years they have been missing, you know, and you don't see the police putting up a reward for those girls. It's the families that are fundraising and doing everything they can for this reward. But yet, you know, other places you see a reward, oh, $10,000 by the Gatineau police looking for this guy, you know, killed this girl. So it's really sad. And we would like to have, you know, more publicity when something like this happens. We are just normal like any other person that's living here. We have feelings. We're just normal people that should have the same kind of media attention as everybody else.
Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
Yes, I would like to let everybody know that we do have an office in Ottawa. We just got it, and hopefully starting Monday, we will be in it Monday to Friday. If anybody knows of any missing or murdered Aboriginal women, please let us know. If there's any families out there that would like to contact us and that needs help or anything like that, we would love to do whatever we can. We are all a volunteer group right now, so but we are working on fundraisers to help families and do whatever we can to help them. So hopefully, if there are any families out there, they can contact us at familiesofsistersinspirit@gmail.com or our Facebook group, which is Families of Sisters in Spirit.